Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am very glad to be once again joined by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back. I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to be here for our Halloween spooktacular. Taylor, what are you dressed as?
I'm dressed as a Joshi wrestling fan, I guess.
Wow, I'm a mime.
What are you dressed as? Okay. You're a mime, but you're speaking.
Not anymore.
What have I done?
I'm in a
Kelly,
box.
Kelly, how are things going in your life?
Things are going all right. So remember how, like, a while ago I said, damn, I hope my mom doesn't have to go to the hospital again this year. Well, she did. She broke her leg. Just fucking fell off the back porch. Just trying to get back in the house. Just had too many things in her hand. Lost her balance. Fell backwards. Landed on her surgically repaired hip from last year. The hip was fine. But since it's all metal, it sent a shockwave down the bone and snapped it right above the knee. I've heard it described as a traumatic break by several different medical professionals. She's home now. She's doing all right. She could put like 50% weight on it. We got her home from the hospital a week after she broke her leg. And then we literally went right back because she was leaking out of her wound. And then they patched her back up. We took her back home. The next day, it sure did happen again. So back to the hospital we went.
It's just been a time for you.
Yep. It's just been one of those years.
Who could imagine that many weeks ago when we were joking and being like, oh, hope it doesn't happen.
It did.
It would happen repeatedly.
Yep.
Over the course of many weeks.
Yeah, who would have thought?
But seems like things are on the up.
Yeah, we've got positive momentum. I haven't called the fire department or an ambulance in a while, so things are looking good. We got positive momentum.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad to have you back here. You know, did the show 2 weeks ago by myself. It's not the same.
No, you did great though. I listened to it. You did a great job.
It really makes me feel a little bit like a crazy person because it's just me sitting like in my house shouting into a microphone with no response. I'm like, well, just keep going and say whatever I'm thinking. So, yeah, glad to have you back. And we've got a lot to talk about. We've got some Marigold that we're going to be talking about today. They had their most recent Cork and Hall show. We'll be covering a little bit of the Stardom Tag League and much, much more. So let's dive right into Marigold's fantastic Adventure from October 24th at Corican Hall in front of 866 fans. Kelly, what were your thoughts on the show overall?
Overall, I think it was a solid show, but another one plagued by my main problem with Marigold is that most of the matches feel just a bit too long. But other than that, I had a good time.
I actually really liked the show. I think I sort of went in with low expectations, and I think there were still some things that were not wildly great for me. You know, I thought it was a really solid show. I'm starting to be reminded of, there's a little bit of, obviously the big comparison between with Marigold is with Stardom, clearly. Yeah. But they're starting to strike me a bit like Tokyo Joshi from years ago, where you have sort of one person on top who's like, this person is really good. You know, in Tokyo Joshi, that was always Miyu Yamashita, I should say. Here, it's Seri. You know, you had a few people sort of sprinkled in that were like, oh, these people are pretty good. They could get better. You know, they could be good wrestlers. You know, you're thinking of like Shoko and, you know, that category of, you know, Yuka. Back when she was there. And then you had a lot of people, I think, lower down where you're like, okay, this is probably not going to be any good. I mean, frankly, that's sort of what it was back in the day of Tokyo Joshi, where you're like, okay, you know, this is going to be a match. Let's get through the match and hope everything goes okay and something doesn't go terribly wrong. you know, this was probably, I don't know, like back in 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
I would say, I think the biggest difference is that Tokyo Joshi always had very distinctly defined characters, which is not really a focus of Marigold. So I think that's the biggest difference. But a lot of, especially the undercard, I sort of watch and I'm like, there's a lot of people here who I would, if I were running a promotion, I'd be like, thanks. But no thanks. And, you know, many years ago, watching Tokyo Joshi, if you watch the full shows, that sometimes was also the way I felt about some of those matches, where you were like, oh, gosh. And, you know, the sort of ceiling of the shows was a little bit lower than with other promotions. So that just sort of struck me as I was watching. You know, I think there are some people also in Marigold who I'm sort of very interested in, because I think they're sort of have a lot of potential and I'm interested to see where they go. But we'll dive into the show itself now with the pre-show tag team match. Kelly, did you watch the pre-show?
I did.
Tag team match? I didn't even realize really it was a pre-show match.
Yeah, no, because it just feels like the regular part of the show.
Yeah. In that pre-show match, Chiaki and Myla Grace defeating Komomo Minami and Minami Yuki in 7 minutes and 1 second. Kelly, what'd you think of this pre-show match?
My first thought was when Chiaki came out with the glasses and dancing, I was like, oh, damn, she's got a future as a Ryo Mizunami cosplayer. Because it really sure did feel like Aniki we have at home. But yeah, this match wasn't great. I thought it was pretty boring. Myla Grace came off as very clunky to me still. She's no real deal Zeta Steel, wherever she is. But yeah, it was a dark match. I went 2 stars.
It felt very processional at points for me, where you could sort of tell everyone was thinking about what was coming next. It was like, okay, here we go. Now we're doing this. There were some moments when I'm like, oh, we're moving very slowly through these sequences. You know, not entirely surprising for many participants in this match. You know, the young rookie side, especially. But it was just sort of like, oh, this is very slow. And I sort of would agree with you that it was sort of like, eh, fine for a dark match. But I also don't really understand Myla Grace's finisher, which is like a jumping something.
Yeah.
Like she hit it and I was like, what is that?
Yeah, it is weird.
It's like I jump and I slightly turn to the side as I'm falling, which was strange. But yeah, it was a pre-show, very much a pre-show match.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes with stuff like this, or I'm kind of like, maybe it could just be a dark match. You know, maybe we don't need to be seeing these matches all the time. And it's not like a slight. It's just like, look, these are young wrestlers that are still getting their reps in. Maybe we don't need to be seeing all this stuff. Put them in front of the crowd, of course, but, you know, maybe that doesn't need to be broadcasted.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the cameras are there, they're like, well, we'll just turn them on.
Yeah.
Now anyway. Yeah, I think there's, you know, this is another where it's like, oh, there are some young wrestlers up and down the card, and there are some of them who I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely can see something going on there. And there are some where I'm like, I don't really see something going on there. and so, yeah. The first match proper of the show was a singles match, Misa Matsui defeating the debuting Naho Yamada in 11 minutes and 29 seconds. I thought that this was really solid, a fun match, a good debut for Yamada. I liked that she came out and sang live. That was interesting to me because I'm so used to people lip syncing to songs that I was like, oh, singing live. That's exciting. I really liked Naho. I thought she had good energy. You know, she looks, her presentation is good. She works pretty well in the ring. You know, obviously not a rookie in the classic sense, but it's sort of like, oh, this is an exciting person to debut. Cause I was like, oh, this is they had an enjoyable match. I thought it was well done. She really took a splat off the top rope at one point, really fell. And I was like, ooh, that's a tough fall to take. It seemed extra. I don't know, when she hit the mat, I was like, ooh. But I thought she looked really good. Obviously, Misa winning, not surprising. But overall, I thought it was a really solid, solid effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved the entrance. Like, that's a great way to make a strong first impression. Just, it reminds me of the first time I saw Hiroshi Yamato, and I was like, oh, this guy fucking rules. This guy's the best. So yeah, I was super in on her when she came out. I gotta admit, I was a little less impressed with her once I found out she already has 60 matches under her belt. I thought, I'm like, eh. She was good when I thought this was like her first match, and she's still solid, but she needs to improve a little bit. I am so tired of doing this, pretending that actress is not wrestling. Like, I get it. They say they're not wrestling, but also, WWE then? Are we going to say that's not wrestling at the same time? Like, I don't know. It bothers me. It's annoying, and it feels like it kind of lessens their past work. But regardless, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Again, a little longer than I think it needed to be. Kind of felt long in the tooth by the end. This went 11:29. Probably could have wrapped up before the 10-minute mark. But yeah, overall good.
Yeah, I sort of understand the thing with actress girls that they're like, we've never wrestled before. We only do entertainment wrestling or whatever the official term is. I mean, to me, I'm just sort of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and talking about how none of them have profiles in the year-end yearbook or whatever they call it. I was sort of like, okay. I guess to me, I would, especially with where this company is situated now, I would much rather have people debut like this and be like, ah, it's their debut when they've wrestled 60 matches, than trotting out these like low-level rookies.
Yeah.
Because as I've said before, I'm like, it's sort of not what the company needs, because the company really feels like it's missing like, not even top. I'm not even expecting these people to come in and be like top, but it just feels like adding more sort of like, oh, here's another rookie that's never wrestled before. It's like, cool. like, great. Like, at least with this, I'm like, okay, they're debuting and they have some semblance of skill where they're get in the ring and I'll be like, okay, they might not be perfect, but I can at least sit here and be like, okay, they'll have a, you know, enjoyable enough match, as opposed to the some of the rookies who I'm like, oh, I'd rather not, you know, as you were just talking about being like, put them in a dark match and don't show me the dark match. Like, I would not say that about Naho. I don't
think she's I wouldn't either.
Wrestler, but I think she's perfectly suited to, you know, wrestle on these cards. So I don't know. It's just weird. It feels like the company needs to bring in like two or three like wrestlers just to
they need more freelancers.
People on the card, like just to have people on the cards.
Yeah. Like honestly, they should be like, hey, colors, come work with us for a bit.
Or something, you know. They got Nagisa Nosaki. I'm like, you can't find anyone else.
Yeah.
That would do it, but I don't know what the behind the scenes politics is. So
true.
But yeah, I thought it was a perfectly fine, you know, opening match. I think part of it is also that I've sort of adjusted to the fact that all the matches are too long.
In
this company, just because it feels like they're like, well, we don't have that many matches, so they're all going to go pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered, I don't know, maybe it was that they were better this time, or maybe I'm just more used to it, but it didn't really bother me. I think there was one, I'm trying to think, it might have been the next match where I was like, this is sort of long. But other than that, it didn't really bug me that much. Speaking of the next match, it was a tag team match where the team of Koke Amore and Utami defeated Chika Goda and Rhea Seto in 11 minutes and 48 seconds. The Twin Towers on opposite sides of the ring, which would, I guess, you could say come into play after the match. As to the match itself, it's another one where I could sort of see the clunkiness with the younger wrestlers. Probably good that Utami was in here, but there was like a pin, like a roll-up pin where Koke very weirdly got ready for the pin, stopped, and then went into the move. And I was like, oh, this is awkward.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
It was like, oh, what's going on? So there's still those moments of, you know, I think people are improving. I think Koke is improving. But there's still those times when I'm like, oh, they're still sort of not at that level yet. Which especially is odd as to what happens later in the show with challenging for the tag titles. But it's just sort of like, well, they need bodies to have matches.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was a terrible match, but it was sort of the match. I think it was the most forgettable match on the show, and didn't really stick out to me all that much.
Yeah, I think Koki is definitely getting better. The tag team with Utami has definitely helped her. I thought the match was pretty solid. I still don't think Rhea Seto is any good, but I thought Chika Goto did well enough to kind of hold up her their end of things. So I liked it. This is my favorite match so far. I went 3 stars on it, so that's something. And then Chika Goto announced she's going away for a month.
Yeah, it was very weird because as it
seemed like she was retiring forever for a second.
Correct, because on English commentary, it happened very slowly where she got on the mic. I was first of all confused because she got on the mic and they're like, Chika Goto is injured. And I'm like, she is? She just wrestled for 12 minutes. Like, And they were like, well, she's injured and she's leaving Marigold. And I was like, oh my God, this is like crazy. She's retiring. They're like, yep, she's leaving Marigold and she will be gone for 1 month. Like, it was so drawn out where I was like, oh my God, she's like retiring right now after wrestling a match and then being like, I have to leave. I'm injured. Just very, something very strange about the whole thing, because then they had the conversation with Koke where it's like, go out and do your own thing.
Yeah, do what you want. And then everyone, like, I feel like we were missing something in the translation, because the crowd sure thought all of it was very funny.
But it was like, do your own thing. And it was like, okay. And I was like, oh, maybe she'll like challenge for the United National title or something. But then she just challenged. It was like, our tag team is not happening for the next month. Go do your own thing. And her own thing is like, well, I'll just find the person closest to me and I'll do another tag team and we'll challenge for the titles. It just was presented. I think part of it was probably lost in translation, but it was just presented very strangely.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I had the same exact thought where I was like, oh, my God, she's retiring. And she's announcing it after this match. But I hope she gets better. I hope whatever injury she has, I don't know if it was officially announced, but I hope she gets better and comes back soon. So, yeah. The next match was a singles match, and it was Kelly's favorite kind of match, a passion injection match, round two.
Passion, 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 passion.
As Nanai Takahashi defeated Nao Ishikawa in 11 minutes and 50 seconds, and I have to say, I sort of thought this rocked.
Yeah, I had a good time with it.
It was one of the first passion injection matches where I was like, yes, this is a passion injection match.
Yes.
Where you're like dragging your opponent around. You're like repeatedly slapping them in the face. You're giving them a shoot headbutt at the end of the match. Like, I'm like, that's passion injection. I could see you could get some passion injected this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the biggest problem of the match is that Nao is still not very good.
Yeah.
As a worker, you know, it was helpful that her strikes, which look so soft, you know, Nanai spent at least part of the match no selling them, which I was like, okay, that's good. Because they don't look very painful. Like, I went 4 stars though, because I just thought it was like, I'm dragging you around, I'm hitting you with, you know, knocking you into the chairs on the outside, I'm bringing you back in, I'm sitting on you and slapping you in the face. I was like, yes, this is passion injection. This I can get behind.
Yeah, this is what they always should have been, because it was previously just, she's having a match. Like, it's just always just like, oh, I'm going to inject passion in you. And then they just have a very middle of the road match. Whereas this felt like she was trying to teach Nao a lesson. And it's like, cool, perfect. Just keep doing this. Like, these two are going to win the tag belts. Like, calling it now. That's happening. But yeah, and it's going to be a great moment when Nao finally gets the win over Nanae, but I don't have the confidence that they'll actually ever book that. So I don't know. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was very good. I went 3.5 on it.
The next match was our first of 4 title matches. It was for the Superfly title. And the champion, Natsumi Shozuki, retaining the Superfly title against the debuting Hummingbird.
Starlight Kid we have at home.
9 minutes and 33 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
I suppose I'm much higher on it than Cage Matches, because Cage Match did not like this match. I thought Hummingbird came off as like a pretty fun gimmick, just doing some cool stuff. I really wish they hadn't both gotten rocked on that dive off the stands, because I was enjoying the match up until that point, and after that it kind of just all fell apart. So I would like them to run this back and when they're both at full strength.
That was my biggest note, which is that they did that move off the stage that looked legitimately like Hummingbird just shoot power bombed herself onto the floor. Like, I was like, what? The first time because I rewound and watched it again, and I was like, is it supposed to be a power bomb? But I was like, no, it's supposed to be like a head scissors that they just missed, and Hummingbird went straight down on her back, and I was like, oh my God. I have to say, really got a laugh out of me when Hummingbird Tai Chi'd her pants off during her intro. Really made me laugh. It really took me by surprise because she really like did the whip and like threw him into the crowd. And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
that was wild. You know, I thought it was a fine match. I probably also thought it was better than Cage Match Set at 3.26 out of 10, which is pretty low.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they were probably too ambitious overall. And there was a lot of messy, iffy stuff. I mean, Shizuki like going to the top rope and then weirdly falling off the top rope. So it just seemed like, you know, between the mistake on the outside, which probably hurt both of them to some degree, that did throw it off. But I could sort of see like, oh, and Shizuki's had other matches I've enjoyed. So, you know, I don't think it's terrible. I think it was just something where it just sort of what they planned didn't really work out in any way.
Yeah. Because I think they both got a little concussed, to be honest. I know Hummingbird full on did get a concussion from what I think I recall seeing. And Shizuki might have had a little bit too. The almost falling off the top rope made me think, I'm like, I don't know about this, but you know, so I give them a lot of rope here where it's just like, I don't think it was a travesty or anything. Like they were both hurt and they worked through it.
Yeah. I think that's a good, summary. You know, it wasn't a disaster.
Yeah.
But it was clearly like, oh yeah, things didn't really go to plan. But Shizuki did win, and after Misa Matsui came out to challenge for the Superfly title, that will be happening in the upcoming week, which we'll talk about in the upcoming show portion of this episode. But the next episode was a twin star title match, the champions Mai Sakurai and Mirai defeating the super rookie team of Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki in 15 minutes and 25 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts on this match?
First off, I really like this Tanaka and Yuzuki team. They very much feel like the Marigold version of Endo and Suzume. Like, I thought they brought a great energy to the ring. They have a really good teamwork. Like they work really well together, and I'm kind of bummed they didn't win because Mai Sakurai and Mirai is a very boring team to me. But like the match itself, I really enjoyed this. I went 3¾. It was super fun, and I hope we keep seeing the Tanaka and Yuzuki team going forward because I think they have a chance to be a really good team.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice match too. I actually thought Mai Sakurai represented herself fairly well here, as clearly like the 1B of the team in terms of talent, but I thought that she was mostly fine. I think I was slightly lower than you. Like I probably would have gone 3.5, but I thought it was a good match. I thought it was well worked. I thought Yuzuki and Tanaka looked really solid. So I really had no complaints, wasn't blown away, but I sort of ended it being like, okay, nice. Well done. Then at the end of the match, as we mentioned earlier, Koke and Utami came out to challenge for the tag title. So that is what Koke will be doing while Chika Goda is out for the next month. The semi-main event of the show was for the Marigold United National title, and the champion once again retaining, that would be Miku Aono, defeating Nagisa Nosaki in 15 minutes and 28 seconds. I really like this match. I thought it was super great. I think Aono is clearly their top prospect in the company.
Absolutely.
I know she's a title holder, sort of the 1B title. So sort of strange to be like, I figured out that she's the biggest prospect. But I think she's, in terms of in-ring stuff, I think she's the best person they have that isn't already at that top level. You know, I thought this was really well worked. It was aided by both of them. I think both of them bleeding from the mouth at different points. They worked really hard. It was super fun, of course, with the bleeding. I didn't know what was going to happen with the very next match. but I thought it was just hard worked. It was good. I liked the kicks. The offense, the both offenses looked good, and I thought it was a great match. And I went 4 stars.
Nice. Yeah, I was just a little lower. I was 3.75. I thought this was great. They had just a hard-hitting, bomb-throwing match. And, of course, the accidental blood always helps kind of sell the brutality of a match like that. And totally agreed on Aono being, like, she's definitely the one that I've come away from Marigold shows the most impressed with. Like, out of anyone that I wasn't already super familiar with, it's like, oh, yeah. No, she's great. She's definitely at that high level, and I think she's only going to get better from here. So happy to see her retain the title. I wonder if this is kind of the end of Nozaki's run or if she'll be back. But
I hope it's not the end because I'm talking about them bringing in more people. So I hope.
Yeah. I'm hoping it isn't either. But it did feel like it could have been kind of a write off for now. But I hope that's not the case. Or go on.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, I think Bozilla's done at the end of the year, right? So
I've heard, yeah, I'm not
sure. Is
that
the case? Has anyone updated that? I thought that was the original. It was like, oh, she'll be there through the end of the year.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
So we'll see. But yeah, Aono, I mean, Aono really is the only, person who wasn't coming from somewhere I knew or was, you know, like Sari, who, of course, I knew or things like that. In terms of Japanese talent, because Bozilla would be probably the other one, where I'm like, oh, yeah, this person is really good. What a good get for Marigold.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, the thing that's missing is that there's so many people in this company where I don't think, wow, they, how smart of them to go out and get this what a genius move to go out and get this person. Like, it's
they
really
keep signing people, but I'm just like, oh, okay, all right.
It's like Sari, but Sari, I'm like, yeah, no duh. Like,
yeah.
I think any person on earth would want to sign Sari to start a new company. So she's really the person where I'm like, yeah, what a great, you know, I could see Yuzuki getting there once she's not sort of under this rookie umbrella, but it really is. And Aono is the star pupil to me, I guess you'd call her.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the big main event was for the Marigold world title and making it a champion sweep. Sari successfully defending her title, defeating Bozilla in 18 minutes and 47 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of the main event?
This was fantastic. A match that had juice in the literal and figurative sense. Bozilla was so great here as just this unbeatable giant beating the absolute shit out of Sari, who just started bleeding like crazy. I wonder if it was hard way or not, because she cracked her in the head with one of those chairs pretty good, so I could see it being either way. But it was just so great. They beat the shit out of each other, worked stiff from the word go and never let up, and just god damn it, Sari is having such a great year. 4.5 stars on this. This ruled.
I think it was not hard way, because I think in that moment they went away, like Bozilla walked away and did something and the camera followed, and then they came back and it was like, oh, she's bleeding, which feels very much like a,
yeah,
okay, I'm
sense.
Walking over here so you can bleed. And so the camera isn't staring directly at you while you do it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, Bozilla, I think, still very much a work in progress. There are some things, like many people on this roster, that she does that are very clunky. But I think what we said really from the get-go was that she understands the character stuff. And so I think that was very strong. And especially in a match like this, where it really is defined sort of not so much by the character, but like what the story is in terms of like, I'm the big insane giant who's beating you up. I think it worked really well. You know, if it was not hard way blood, I think that it would be an interesting place for Marigold to live, because in terms of, if you consider Marigold sort of one of the three big Joshi promotions, you know, obviously Tokyo Joshi doesn't do any blading and neither really does Stardom. So I think it would be a fun distinguishing point to that. And, you know, you look back at, you know, just having Queen of Villains on that show and showing all the times when it was like, oh, they're bloody messes, Baba, you know, oh my God, it's crazy. Like, I think it would be a distinguishing point for the promotion. I know some people don't really like that, seeing blood, but I think it's a thing that you could at least look, especially for this promotion that is so sort of tied to stardom still.
Yeah.
In many ways, like, it still feels very much like, oh, this is a stardom, you know, oh, we're doing a GP, you know, we're doing a league now, one day after the stardom one ends or whatever it is. It's like, this would be a good way to be like, no, we're not like them, because mm-hmm. we're wild and crazy and people will bleed all over the place. And that, you know, I think would be an interesting distinguishing point for the promotion. I really liked the match. I went 4 stars. I wasn't quite as high as you, but I thought it was a really good match. You know, Sari, of course, working super well, bleeding all over the place. Very funny to see her all bloody at the end being like, thanks for coming, everyone. you know, smiling. And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, great match. I think a good cap to a very good show. Nanai came out at the end and challenged Sari. I think that could be a really good match mm-hmm. as well. You know, I think Nanai probably doesn't have many super high matches in, you know, her future, but I think this could definitely be one of them.
Oh, for sure.
Cause I think she will definitely sort of rise to that challenge. And of course, wrestling Sari, you sort of get a head start cause she's so good.
Yeah. Like, Sari's going to make her work hard.
Yeah. So I think that will be good, but a really good cap to a very good show
mm-hmm.
for me. So that was Marigold's fantastic adventure from October 24th at Corrigan Hall. What else has been going on? Well, it is the start of everyone's favorite time. The Stardom Tag League is here. And the teams are as follows. They're split up into two blocks, the Red Goddess block and the Blue Goddess block. In the Red Goddess block, FWC, of course, Suzuki and Koguma, Anakon, Shuri and Saki Kashima, Peach Rock, which is Mayu Iwatani and Momo Kogo, O2 Line, Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, Empress Nexus Venus, Team 1 is Maika and Hanako, BMI 2000 reuniting here, Natsuka Tora and Ruaka, not really reuniting, but in the tag league again.
Back and better than ever.
Cosmic Angels, Tom Nakano and Kararo Sayaka, God's Eye, Tomoka Inaba and Rana Yagami, and Psy Queen, Konami and Sayaka Matani. That is the Red Goddess block. In the Blue Goddess block, the second Empress Nexus Venus team of Wakasukiyama and Rion, Restart, Natsupoi and Sayori Ano, Neo Genesis, Starlight Kid and Suzu Suzuki, Wingori, the former New Blood tag champions, Hanan and Saeeda, Mei Sierra and Kohaku teaming together, Sakura Daman of Yuna Mizumori and Aya Sakura, Devil Princess of Rina and Azusa Inaba, the current New Blood tag champions, God's Eye, Hina, and Lady C, and finally the Hate team of Momo Watanabe and Tekla. As of this recording, one night of tag league action has happened. Restart, Natsupoi and Sayori Ano defeated Mei Sierra and Kohaku. Wakasukiyama and Rion defeated Hina and Lady C. Anakon, Shuri, and Saki Kashima defeated Konami and Sayaka Matani. Mayu Iwatani and Momo Kogo defeated Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, and FWC defeated BMI 2000. So very little points. Three teams tied at the top of the Red Goddess block with 2 points, and two teams in the Blue Goddess block tied at 2 points. But still very early days. Speaking of New Blood tag champions, Azusa Inaba and Rina defeated Hanako and Wakasukiyama on New Blood 16 to retain the New Blood tag titles. That one is on YouTube. Marigold had their mask fiesta on the 27th, bringing back that tradition from Stardom that had gone away.
Rossi gets another set of masks for his collection.
Oz had their big Yokohama Budokan show. I have not watched it yet, but it did have nearly 1,800 people in attendance. In fact, one short, it was $17.99 in attendance. The main event ended as Mayumi Ozaki versus Ryo Mizunami, which I have not watched yet, but I'm looking forward to. Tokyo Joshi had two more matches in the Next Generation tournament. Kira Summer defeating Shino Suzuki to move on, and Haru Kazushiro defeating Uta Takami to move on as well. I believe it was also announced Runa Okuba will be going on hiatus to work on her school studies again. So hopefully she will be back soon.
I'm really glad they do that. Like, that's just a very nice thing where it's like, good, work on school. We'll be back. We'll be here when you get back. Like, that's,
yeah, and
that's
you got plenty of time. They're essentially children, so
yeah,
there's no rush.
Yeah.
In Sendai Girls on the 14th, Team 200 Kilogram retaining their titles against the Hate Duo, and on the 20th, Mika Iwata retained her Sendai Girls title against Minami. The other probably biggest news of the week was in Ice Ribbon.
Oh boy.
Ice Ribbon having a big quirk in Hall Show. Yuki Mashiro defeated Yuri to win the Ice Infinity title. Exciting result to me. Sort of good to put the title onto someone who I really consider, you know, a part of Ice Ribbon. An Ice Ribbon person. Unfortunately, right after the show, Mashiro came out and said that essentially no one in the company can get in touch with the president of Ice Ribbon because he is in the hospital, and that they have not been getting paid for the shows, which was confirmed by Mifu Ishida on Twitter. Ishida saying, announcing that she wouldn't be on any Ice Ribbon shows until she gets paid. So then what happens is Neo Plus, which was the old owner of Ice Ribbon, essentially, I believe, is loaning money to the wrestlers as their salaries. The only problem with that is that the salaries they're paying the wrestlers are the salaries that they were paying back when they owned the company, which I believe are less than the current salaries. So they're essentially being underpaid now. And the big thing now is that supposedly everyone's contract, at least of the wrestlers in Ice Ribbon, they're all up in December. And who knows what happens at that point. Jay from Dragon Gate was on Open the Voice Gate on the Voices of Wrestling Network. And I believe he mentioned that the president of Ice Ribbon is the guy who tried to start a big promotion with Natsu Samire not long ago. And essentially, once he needed to pay, disappeared and didn't pay the money. And that promotion, I think, never got off the ground. So really, I mean, I don't really know how to say this, except another just absolute, like, disaster for Ice Ribbon.
Yeah.
Like, no one is talking about the show. You know, sort of an exciting title change at the top of the card. And everyone's like, well, the company's probably going to close soon. I mean, I just don't see a world in which, you know, frankly, they might not even make it to January 1st, 2025. But at the end of 2025, I'm like, what is this company even going to be?
Yeah, there is a very strong and real possibility that Ice Ribbon is not around by the time the clock turns to 2025.
And, you know, it's very sad, but one thing, and I think it's been briefly discussed on this show before was that, you know, when COVID hit initially, my thought was, oh my God, at least two or three of these companies are going to close, you know, both in Joshi and out of Joshi, you know, Japanese wrestling in general. And it didn't really happen. I mean, it didn't happen, but there's like a lot of companies now that feel like, what's happening here? I mean, the biggest is Ice Ribbon.
Yeah,
obviously, because they seemingly, you know, are like a cartoon character continuously walking into rakes. It's like, oh, here they go. Okay, they're getting some people back. Oh, well, now they're not paying anyone.
It feels like, to me, the situation in Backaways with FMW, where the president killed himself because of how much money he owed. Like, that. That's what my brain first went to when they were like, no one can get in contact with the president. And I still kind of think that might be a possibility when they're like, yeah, he's in a hospital that is very strict. I'm like, what if it's just the family trying to be like, oh, no, he's definitely alive and we'll be able to pay you later.
Yeah, I don't know, but it all seems bad, and this seems bad in a way where it's not just like, oh, what's the talent? Like, it's like, oh, this is bad and no one's getting paid. And I mean, even if the company were like, we're keeping going, you know, like I said, Ishida being like, I'm not wrestling if I'm not getting paid. I think that's a perfectly logical thing to think. And if all their contracts are up in December, who's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know,
I'm re-signing this deal.
I would love to sign this deal, especially as we just talked about, and I talked about last episode, and I think we've talked about in a couple episodes in a row with Tokyo Joshi. I'm like, some of these bigger companies, now that this is becoming more stratified, is that the right word?
Stratified, I think.
Stratified. I'm thinking of Trish Stratus, probably.
They're going to get Trish Stratisfactioned.
And, you know, if I were Tokyo Joshi or if I were Marigold, I might go to some of these people and be like, hey, you want to come wrestle here? We'll pay, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll pay you every week. You'll probably get paid more than you're getting paid at Ice Ribbon. You know, I don't know if some of these people are people who are like, well, I don't want to wrestle full time in that way. That's certainly possible, but there are people who need it. It's not like the three companies are like, well, our rosters are totally good and full. Mm-hmm. We don't need anyone else. They sort of do need other people. And, you know, it would be a bummer to lose a promotion, especially a promotion that for many years I really liked and for many years looked like they could be a real, you know, not at the top because they don't really have the backing, but could be a very solid, like, independent number four Joshi company that now that feels like it's 1 million miles away.
Yeah.
From even being possible in any world. So, you know, and they've got a lot of talent on the roster. Like, the roster is very talented. They have a lot of good people. You know, we haven't even really talked about Ibuki Hoshi, who just had her kid and who could come back at some point, who's very good, you know, who's also very good. So we'll have to see, but I think overall, just sort of a bummer, you know, much more of a bummer than, you know, I think of somewhere like Seedling, who lost Arisa, and it's sort of like, what is this company doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of running random shows once a month. I guess that's fine. But that's a very different situation than, oh, no one is getting paid in our company and all our contracts are up in 1 month.
Yeah. And also, one thing I thought of was the venue, like the dojo. Like, it's not just them that run it. So, like, what'll happen to that? Will someone buy it?
Yeah, I mean,
I assume it'll get liquidated, but will it go to another wrestling company, or will someone else just, or will it just become like a convenience store or something?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. It's all up in the air, and I'll also
the venue say, that housed some of the best women's matches to happen in AEW history.
That is true. Maybe AEW should buy it.
Yeah.
And do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will, you know, I will say, I guess on the other side is that I feel like I have been on here a couple times and been like, well, Ice Ribbon is totally fucked now. And they seemingly keep going. So
I feel like this
maybe
is,
maybe I'm wrong.
The fact that the champion is coming out and being like, no one's getting paid. That's, I think this might be the final nail.
Well, especially after you're like, I won the title. Oh, by the way, I'm not being paid.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I do agree with you. I'm just saying, I'm just sort of playing devil's advocate in that I've been on here a couple times thinking, oh, Ice Ribbon is totally doomed. And
or Joshi Vince Russo is in the back rubbing his hands together like, this is a great angle. Oh, bro, this is so good.
Yeah, because when I'm watching Ice Ribbon, I really get stoked thinking, oh, these wrestlers are working unpaid.
We're working that basketball team. We're working the O plus. It's going to be great, guys.
So good luck to Ice Ribbon. I guess that's all I can really say. Mm-hmm. I hope the wrestlers get paid.
Yeah. Frankly. Good luck to the wrestlers. Cause ultimately the company itself, it can go away and be resurrected as something else. But like ultimately, I just want what's best for those wrestlers.
Yeah. And I mean, they deserve to get paid, of course. And
yeah,
hopefully they will soon. Marvelous had a show on the 27th. Mako Satomura was on that show and went to a time limit draw with Takumi Aroha. The big news on that show is Mio Momono and Yurika Oka defeated Team 200 Kilogram to win the Triple AW tag titles. So a big title change on that show.
What's Kelly, their team name? It's like Peach Banana something.
No, it's Banana. Hold on. Momo. I never remember, but it's got Banana in it.
Yeah, it's something insane.
The name of the team is Bob Momo Banana.
There it is. Okay.
Which I'm like, of course, I can't remember that off the top of my head. And Kelly, what has been happening in the, I guess this is the, is this the first time we've had an episode together where they have officially now been called only Choco Pro?
I think so. And this is kind of an old show. This is Choco Pro 400 night 2 back in on the 5th that I just wanted to talk about, cause I wasn't around to talk about it last week. The main event was the Super Asia title match, Mei Suruga successfully defending her title against Sayaka. I thought this match was interesting because it was cool to see Mei in the role of like dominant champion ace against instead of like the plucky underdog babyface that she typically is. And I think she's taking to that role very well. This was a great match. Mei was awesome here, just working over Sayaka's arm the whole match, and Sayaka was great with her selling here too. Like I came away very impressed by this match. Just super great second half, definitely worth a watch. I went 4.25 on it.
Well, that is everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks. Before we talk about what's coming up, of course, we have to discuss the Joshi Fantasy League standings as we fly towards the end of the year and the end of the first year of this league. We'll start, of course, with Kelly, who has finally eclipsed 400 points on the year. 412 points for Kelly.
Goddamn, Rina Yamashita lost her title in GCW.
She certainly did. And I think the most distressing thing for Kelly is that Kelly's mid-year swap pick of Saki now has 57 points. Venny, who Kelly has had for the entire year, only has 56 points.
Yeah.
So a tough year there. 412 points is now 130 points behind Liam, who is in second with 542 points. Getting big help from, of course, Unagi, Aoi, and Seri with the title victory against Bozilla, getting some points, but still leading by 80 points, up over 600 points. That would be me. Yours truly with really the big vote getters, or the big point getters, I should say, of you.
big vote getters.
Of you at 175, Miyuki Takase at 146, and Saya Kamitani at 115 points. So anything can happen, but it's looking pretty good for me.
I'm excited to draft for next year. All indie scummers, that's all I'm taking.
I think the thing we learned is you really need quantity. It's really all about quantity.
Yes.
But now I'm like, oh, my secrets have been exposed. So all the wrestlers I picked are going to, you know, get stolen out from under me. Maybe I'll make up a rule that as the winner, I get to keep my whole team.
I think we should be able to keep one. We get one keeper.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's for next year. But what's coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, of course, Stardom is continuing their tag league. That will still be going on. Oz Academy has a show on November 10th. Nothing has been announced for that show yet. Tokyo Joshi has a show on November 3rd. That will have Wakana Uehara versus Chika Nanase in the Next Generation Tournament. That seems like a fairly obvious Uehara win as the winner of last year's Next Generation Tournament. Kelly, do you think that she does a twofer?
Yeah, I think she goes back to back.
Okay, interesting. I'm just thinking, I'm like, maybe she doesn't, but I'm like, who would beat her?
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone. I would go Wakana again.
And then the big Tokyo Joshi show of the next 2 weeks is on November 9th, and it is in the United States of America with Defy, a joint show with Defy over in the Pacific Northwest. The show is called Bright Eyes, and the card is as follows. Rika Tatsumi will team with Amira to take on Daisy Monkey, Suzume, and Arisa Endo. Yuki Kamifuku will take on Wakana Uehara in an all Tokyo Joshi match. And then I believe someone said it on the Discord. So sorry I'm stealing this and not giving you credit. But walking through the slightly discouraged door is Rebel Kel.
She's back.
Making her way from Stardom, super Stardom, I'll say, to Tokyo Joshi. It will be Moka Miyamoto versus Rebel Kel. That's going to be a match. let me say that. Mizuki will take on Liza Hall. I believe that's how you say it, in a singles match. Kelly, have you ever seen Liza Hall?
I have not.
Not familiar with her, so we will see. There will be a Princess of Princess title preview tag match as Miyu Watanabe will team with Shoko Nakajima to face off against Yuki Aino and Zara Zocker, as Zocker will be challenging for the Princess of Princess title coming up. And then the main event will be a Princess tag team title match. The champions 1-2-1 million, Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito will face off against Tokyo Joshi stalwart Vertical Vixen.
The Vertical Vixen?
The Vertical Vixen is back, teaming with Nicole Matthews to challenge for the tag title. So a pretty, I mean, to me, I think a pretty fun card.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching it. Marigold has a show on November 2nd. As we mentioned during that, there will be the Superfly title match. Natsumi Shozuki will defend against Misa Matsui. Sendai Girls has a show on the 9th. The card is as follows. Chi-Chi will face off against Yuna for the Sendai Girls Junior title. Yura Suzuki will take on Minami. Ryu Mizunami, Haruka Umisaki, and Yuzuki will face off against Dash Chizako, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Zones in a classic Joshi matchup. Shuji Ishikawa will face off against Super Sasadango Machine. That's for all you big fans of Joshi wrestling. Sari will team with Yurika Oka to take on Miyuki Takase and Mika Iwata. The one title match on the show will be Team 200 Kilogram defending their title against Venny and Lena Cross. And the main event will see Mako Satomura face off against Sayori Ano, which should be a very good match. And I think a pretty fun, solid card.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a all-around fun card, especially the Joshi match of Shuji Ishikawa versus Super Sasadango. Why is that not happening on a DDT show?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's so weird.
Diana has a show on November 10th that will see Maika Ozaki defend the Triple WD title against Ayame Sasamura. Wave has a show on November 4th. Yuki Miyazaki will defend her Regina DeWave title against Saya Kamatani, the Dark Phoenix. And the tag titles will be on the line as Saki and Risa Serra will defend against Maika Ozaki and Tehanma. Kelly, what is going on coming up in Shaco Pro?
On the 2nd, they have a show coming up in Shinkiba, main evented by Mei Tsuruga and Mia Yatsuba, taking on Saki and Mizuki. And then in the semi-main, you've got Sayaka versus Makoto in a singles match. So those are both interesting matches. I think those should be good.
So that is everything coming up in Joshi, and that's what we'll be talking about in 2 weeks' time when we are back with you. But before we depart, of course, have to throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
Taylor, you know I got to talk about Frankie Freako. Frankie Freako dropped on digital. It is the newest movie by the director of Psycho Goreman. And boy, howdy, is it a lot of fun. It follows a guy who can easily be described as a square, really kind of wanting to step out in life and do something fun. So he calls a number he sees on the TV to call Frankie Freako for a good time. And boy, howdy, does Frankie Freako come over and have a good time. The best way I can describe this movie is it feels like the movie you would see someone watching in another movie, and you're like, damn, I want to watch that movie. It's a whole lot of practical effects, a lot of weird little puppet guys running around. It's a damn good time.
Well, there you go. We're back with an official Kelly recommendation. Movie. I feel like we hadn't had a movie recommendation in many weeks.
It's been a little while.
It's been a little while.
So, haven't seen anything lately.
Well, there you go. But that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We will talk to you in 2 weeks' time. For Kelly, I am Taylor saying so long, farewell.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.